So welcome. The Jordan Rich Show continues. I met this gentleman at the Cape Cod Writers' Center. Why was I there? I don't recall. Oh, yes, I do. I spoke to the writers down there and have become friends with many of them several years ago. And my next guest in studio is Kevin Simmons, and his name is spelled S-Y-M-M-O-N-S. So I want to make that clear at the outset. Kevin and I met there, and in the meantime, over the years, we've talked with you about at least one book, and now you got two more, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jordan. It's a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
The take on you is that you're not just doing what any typical male writer of your generation is doing. We'll explain. You're doing something that is appealing to a wider, maybe, audience, and certainly a different audience. Well, you've got three books, all right? One of them is called Out of the Storm. That's the middle one. Rite of Passage was the first one that I read, and now a new one called Solo. And all three of them, a little supernatural element to them, I guess, in some cases?
Not so much. The first one, Rite of Passage more than the other two, yeah. Okay. Right.
But females are very strong protagonists.
Absolutely right. Okay. One of the things that I have tried to do, let me go back and say I didn't necessarily try to do it. It sort of evolved when I started writing. From the beginning of my writing, which has been about almost 10 years now, I discovered that I had what I would call getting into what we would call a character arc as far as my heroes and heroines are concerned, the two major characters, protagonists in the novel. My hero always started out sort of at the top of the heap. He was, as you know, in Rite of Passage, he was a Harvard law student. He was a jock. He was this. He was that. In Out of the Storm, my romantic thriller that came out last summer, the fellow was he was a former Green Beret team leader. In Solo, the latest, and maybe to use a fancy word, the most ambitious thing that I've done, the hero is a grad student who was an All-American hockey player, who comes from a wonderful family in South Boston. But the heroes, they don't remain static, but to a great extent, they start out at a higher level in terms of where they've come from or what their achievements are. On the other hand, my heroines, they don't necessarily start out on a lower basis, but they start out, they have more to achieve. And one of the things that seems to have happened in my writing, and a lot of times, as you probably know, having talked to many writers, and I'll be honest, I am one who doesn't necessarily sit down and spend 4 months plotting the book in an outline. I actually sit down and I let, to use the Stephen King word, you let the organic method take control. And what happens, has happened to me, is I have found that my heroines tend to grow and evolve throughout the course of the book.
Now, this begs the question, because I think everybody writes what they know. And from what I know of you, you know, you're married, right? Married?
Yes, guy? I am.
And do you have children?
I have four children and three children, four grandchildren.
How
yes.
many of them are girls?
None.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. three of my grandchildren are. I apologize.
Okay, but not you have four boys.
Four, yep.
Okay. And the sensitivity and the understanding that people are saying you have of your female protagonists is something that you don't often find, no, seriously, in a male writer. Where do you think this, how did this happen for you?
It's difficult to say, Jordan. I'd like to tell you I spent years studying female psychology or something, but obviously I didn't. This career sort of, as you know, evolved. It was sort of a second career that evolved after I had the good fortune to sell off a business that I was involved with fairly young in my life, and I started doing this, which I had loved doing in college. But getting back to your question, and the way I this is not an answer, but sort of a comment. One of my neighbors who read one of my books recently wrote me a nice note. He said, "I really enjoyed the book." He said, "Wow, you really got in touch with your feminine side, didn't you?"
Well, I'll tell you the truth. There are a lot of writers today, female writers, who are writing books pretty much for the female audience, and they're excellent. And I never thought I would be reading them, but I actually kind of have to for my work. But what I notice is I can spot, generally speaking, I can spot the gender of the writer based on what I'm reading. And in your case, I mean, I know you, I met you, you're a guy with, you know, beard, veteran, tough guy. But you really do write in that voice. It's really something. Does your wife have any input in this? I mean, has she helped
Absolutely.
You? Absolutely.
My wife is my first and best editor. Before I ever send any of these manuscripts to my publisher and or critique group, my wife reads through them and she is both my best and my worst critic in that she will give me some honest feedback. As I think I told you, I'm not to promote a book that isn't out yet, but working on a new adult novel, and I'm actually seeking the input from both her and some friends and even some younger people, some say 20-year-old young women, because I have never written in this genre before, and it is very new and different to me, and it's sort of, you know, the Twilight, Hunger Games, Divergent sort of mentality where all of a sudden the heroine is very, very strong and the dominant figure in the book.
That seems to be the trend in the young adult area, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
Ender's Game being an exception. But
yes,
the young heroes and heroines seem to be more female-oriented. That would be heroines, wouldn't it? But let me get back to this current book, because I noticed in your bio that you studied vocal performance at the New England Conservatory, which has a place to play in solo, hence the title. Why don't we describe what's going on in this book, because it has to do with the conservatory to a certain extent.
All right. Gladly. One of the ways when somebody says, what is the book about, I love to give them the tagline, which I must admit, and I have checked this with my intellectual property lawyer, it's okay, actually is, you might say, borrowed from Oscar Wilde. And the tagline is, when the gods want to punish us, they let our dreams come true. What that means is, in simplistic terms, not that your audience needs a simplistic definition, but what it means is, be careful what you wish for, because it may come true.
And when you're talking about performing and being, quote, a star, there have been stories since the beginning of time, Greek tragedy all the way up, about people who go for that star, and sometimes it's fraught with danger. In this case, though, you studied voice, so you have a little insight into how that game works?
Yes, I do. Actually, I come from, my family has a musical background. My dad was a very serious and very talented opera singer for many years in New England. Actually, one time back, many, many years ago, had his own radio program and toured New England, as some of the rock and roll bands do now, but he toured with a very serious musical trio. I studied voice at New England Conservatory. I have a minor in music from Northeastern, in addition to a Bachelor of Science. And I played at different times in, you know, folk, rock and roll bands, sang, played guitar, played a little piano.
So you know Kevin. By the way, Kevin Simmons is here, author of three books now, the latest one called Solo. He's from the Cape Cod Writers Center and from that area. You know that there's a lot of, well, shall we say, jealousy, envy, ego in every area of the performing arts, including radio. But in this case, some vicious people who are out to get you on occasion, right?
Absolutely right. And I won't give away the story, but when you get into solo, you'll find out that is one of the major tensions in the book. There is jealousy and envy, and it doesn't necessarily happen in this case in the sense of another performer, but it happens in, shall we say, the competition for the hero in the book, Matt Sullivan. One of the people that I actually had look this over, believe it or not, is my local choir director who had sung, I don't know if she sang at the Met, she sang at Tanglewood and a few other places, and I gave her the book and the manuscript to read, and asked her, I said, look, I know she's a pretty astute critic. I said, be honest with me. What do you think about this? I said, it's been a few years since I've been involved in this. Look it over and tell me what you think about it. Because she also has two brothers who are now on Broadway. And without being self-aggrandizing, she said, you've done a good job. You've got it pretty much right on as to what happens in the music industry. So what happens is my heroine, very, very quickly, my heroine has the opportunity to be what she thinks is perhaps the next greatest lyric soprano in the world. She's studying at the conservatory. She has all sorts of scholarships. She has a handsome young writer who's become her boyfriend, but she is strapped. She comes from a background of abuse and privation. And at a recital, just as always happens in books, by coincidence, one night, a middle-aged producer who is looking for a fresh young face happens to find her, sees her, and you might say literally falls in love with her. And one other quick note to that, it's sort of based, the novel starts in the late 80s, it's sort of based on sort of what I would call a Sarah Brightman, Andrew Lloyd Webber situation, where a middle-aged man finds a beautiful, young, very, very talented singer and propels her to stardom. But what Jessica finds out is when she gets propelled to stardom, she leaves a lot behind, and it isn't what she thinks it is.
So here's a story that, you know, is all part of your imaginative process. And you said that you do it the organic way, the Stephen King way, which is just start writing. And I always ask this of novelists, do you let the characters then take you where they're going? Or do you have a sense that I know ultimately how this thing's going to end up? Who's going to live, who's going to not, who's going to be in love, who's not? How does that work for you?
That's an excellent question, and it's probably one of the ones that novelists or writers hear an awful lot. I pretty much let the characters take control of the story, and I know that sounds very, very strange, especially to anybody who doesn't write. One very, very quick story, there's a wonderful teacher and local novelist named Kate Flora, who I've taken classes from, who is a member of many local organizations and teaches at different places. I took a class in character development from her, and she once started the class by coming in and saying, you know something? She slammed a bottle of wine down on the table. She said, the other night, I just couldn't take it. She said, I went home at 10 o'clock. She said, I took my character out into my car. I said, I had my heroine out into the car. We opened the bottle of wine, and we had to have it out because things just weren't going the way I expected them to.
Well, you know, Kevin, Stephen King did write a book about his characters coming to life. And he had probably writers like you in mind, besides just readers like me. You guys would really appreciate that.
Yep.
But this is the third of your works, right?
Yes.
Of your novels.
Yes.
And the Cape Cod Writers Group is terrific. I mean, they have all kinds of people, poets and
Absolutely.
Short story writers and biographers and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And it must be cool to see the progression. Like at my work, I mean, when I do something 10 years ago and I compare it to where I am today, I say, oh, well, I did it then, I can do it better now. But do you have that as an author of three books? Do you say, oh, I know it's printed and sold a lot of copies, but I wish I had done this in The Rite of Passage?
Yes, I do. It's funny you said, I mean, The Rite of Passage was my first book. And it's interesting, while I was waiting to talk to you today, I actually went back and read a few passages from Solo, which I hadn't done for a while. And this is going to sound very arrogant. I said I was actually kind of pleased with some of the stuff the way my writing had evolved over that period of time. And that's not to say the other two are not the same, but this, when I write about it on Facebook or some other places, or we talk about reviews, I'd say it's the most ambitious effort that I've had. And by the way, I worked off and on. Probably for 5 or 6 years at this book. The other two had not been written while I was diddling around. Excuse me, I'm sorry. While I was fiddling around with this book.
Fiddling and diddling. Johnny Most used to say that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's very interesting because creative projects, and it can be whether it's a book or a piece of music or even a canvas, something on canvas. Creative projects are often like that. They're not linear. In other words, you put something away and you come back to it and you touch it up. I just saw the documentary on J.D. Salinger. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. I mean, he had certain things that he just never released because he kept working and reworking and reworking. I guess you can rework yourself into a lather and never get anything done, too. You have to watch out for that.
Well, once in a while you have to use the cliche, you have to sort of kick it in the pool and see if it can swim. And I think I think that's probably what's happened. And just one other very sort of a side comment. As far as the Writers' Center, yeah, it's been amazing. I am very, very fortunate. I had a wonderful critique group. Actually, three of the authors out of the six who were in my critique group have been traditionally published. We're all on our third or more, novel now. And it's seeing everybody, the way things have evolved and how the writers have developed, And I might add, probably the best writer, or maybe writer or two in that group. Actually, hasn't been published yet, but she's very, very young and very ambitious. And if I was 29 years old, I'd probably look for a fancy literary agent in New York, too.
Well, let me just reintroduce my guest, Kevin Simmons. He's the author of three novels. His latest is called Solo. The previous one's Out of the Storm and Rite of Passage. He's become a pseudo-celebrity in his neighborhood, but actually reading people are reading you all over the country, and that's great. And his website, K-S-Y-M-M-O-N-S, that's Simmons spelled S-Y-M-M-O-N-S, ksimmons.com. And I guess the news is good, again, for people who have the dream. You've had this dream, and you've pulled it off now, three in a row.
Absolutely.
The discouragement that people feel is easy to feel, because it seems like a daunting task. What advice do you have for fellow writers out there?
I always talk about the three T's, you know, talent, training, meaning. Obviously, obviously some of us have more, like some of us can sing better than others of us can sing. Some of us have more of a God-given gift, I think, perhaps to write. And I'm not saying I'm one of those, but some people do. I mentioned a young woman in my writing
group. Wait, what's the third T? Talent?
No, I'm going to get that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Talent, training. You have
yeah,
to study.
Right. Okay.
Because it is like playing the piano. It is a craft. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. But the third T, perhaps, is the most important one. Tenacity.
Yes.
Stick-to-itiveness. One of my great mentors, who used to be president of a major writing organization, once said, she said, this is back 10 years ago when everything was done without email. She said, you have never consider yourself a good writer until you can wallpaper your living room with your rejection slips.
Hey, a la Ernest Hemingway,
who did that. Absolutely right.
No, it's a remarkable achievement. I've met so many, both national, international, and also local people, and I am just in awe of anybody who can have the patience, the tenacity, and the skill sets to do this. I write a column once in a while, and mm-hmm. It's like pulling my hair out. It's so tough. But seriously, it's a great, great feather in your cap.
Well, thank you.
And you are, again, a guy who's able to appeal to both men and women readers, which is pretty darn good from a commercial standpoint. Good for you for doing it. I know it's your natural tendency, but you're doing a great job with it. So.
Well, thank you. And actually, it's interesting. The middle book in the series, not the series, but the middle book, Out of the Storm. The first one, as you know, you read, we talked about that. That's a paranormal romance. It's historical, takes place right after World War II, you know, major stakes involved.
Right.
Solo, you've mentioned the second book, Out of the Storm, which is a Cape Cod book. It's a contemporary romantic thriller, which I am, in a way, sad to say, because I wrote it long before that happened, but almost reflects some of the horrific events that happened last year at the Marathon bombing, because it talks about domestic terrorism. But I found that has had fairly good appeal with men.
I read the first one. I loved it. I mean, maybe it's just the fact that more men today, more guys, are not afraid to delve into things that are a little bit more, quote, female-oriented. It doesn't hurt, boys. It doesn't hurt a bit. I'm still the toughest guy on radio.
Well, you are.
Thank you. For a little guy. Kevin, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
I'm really happy to see you again. I'm really happy for you, and I hope to get back to the Cape Cod Writers Group and say hello one of these days.
I hope you can. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jordan.
If I recall, you bought me a glass of wine, even.
Right? I think I did. We were at
Five Bays Bistro.
No, nor do I. Five Bays Bistro.
Right.
That's right.
Kevin Simmons, let me give the website, KSYMMONS.com. Kevin Simmons, author of three books. The latest is called Solo. Amazon, of course. I would always say Amazon. He's giving me the Amazon sign. A tall woman who carries a spear? No, Amazon.com for Kevin Simmons with a Y. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
Always a pleasure. We'll be right back with more here on The Jordan Rich Show.